Hi, I'm Mayor Dana Ralph, and welcome to the Kent Now podcast. In this podcast, you will hear from city leaders, city workers, and engaged residents. We discuss local news and current events and provide educational and engaging content for the Kent resident who wants to stay plugged into our community. Thanks for listening. Now here are our hosts, Josh Mossberg, Kyle Bomer, and Tracy Taylor.
Wonderful.
All right, now we're recording.
All right.
Sessions live.
No. I mean, we're always live, but I mean, we're really live this time.
Super duper live.
Well, I mean, the coffee is actually good today.
Is it?
Yeah.
The coffee is hit.
Coffee's good
every
day.
What did you have for, what was your caffeine
of
the day?
My caffeine today was the blonde espresso cold brew.
Whoa.
With a little oat milk caramel creamer.
Goodness. It's a lot of words.
It's a lot.
Tall order.
Yeah. Usually my coffee order, I need to know this too, by the way, what you guys' coffee order is. Mine is a tall cafe misto, soy milk.
Misto?
Yes.
What is that?
It's half steamed milk, half like brewed coffee, but I like the Starbucks blonde roast coffee. And then I have them do a little bit of soy milk and two pumps of sugar-free vanilla. That's my coffee order.
Wow. Wow. Really got it down to a science
over
here.
It's what I've been ordering for 15 years.
That's...
They've been doing that for 15 years?
Correct.
Complicated.
It is.
Holy.
What is your coffee order?
My coffee order at Starbucks? Mm-hmm. I usually get the nitro vanilla sweet cream cold brew.
Oh.
That's it.
Very nice. But yours is always like so foamy. Like it's
well, sometimes I add the cold foam.
Oh.
For that extra pizzazz.
Well, I mean, you know,
because what I have found is the cold brew does definitely take away a lot of I don't know. I'm not a big fan of just like raw cold brew. You know what I mean? Like
so you don't like cold black coffee is what you're saying.
No, I can enjoy black coffee, but something about the cold brew lacks
substance?
Well, it's Starbucks. I mean, they like burn the crap out of their coffee.
Stop it.
So, but yeah.
Oh.
So I like the cold brew because it's like, you know, it wakes you up better.
Mm.
More
I definitely
caffeine.
Like the cold brew.
Definitely.
I love cold brew.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that what you drink?
I'll drink a cold brew. I just like regular just drip coffee.
Mm.
I don't actually like too many of those other, like I like an espresso, sure.
Sure.
Like an espresso shot. I just don't like all the sugar and all the additive stuff and all the other flavors. I just like coffee.
Yeah. Something I don't understand is the people like that'll get those incredibly crazy drinks with the long receipts and they have like all these subs and
so
ads
weird.
And pumps and all
it
this stuff.
It just sounded like Tracy's drink.
Tracy's
is like
pumps.
She had some pumps. She had some edits, right? But it wasn't like add 3 metric tons of whipped cream and like
right?
It's not like, you know, give me an industrial quantity of high fructose corn syrup.
Or
because I feel like those are just basically like you're having a milkshake.
Yeah,
for breakfast.
It's basically just a milkshake.
You're having 1,000 calories of sugar in the morning, every morning. That seems problematic to me.
I'm going to pull up right now.
Though, have you tried yet? Speaking of the cold foam, have you tried the Coffee Mate cold foam like in the can that looks like whipped cream almost?
Stop it.
No, I haven't.
What?
I didn't know that was a thing.
Flavored. Super good. It's great on coffee.
Do they?
Especially on just regular, just drip coffee.
Try that.
Do they have it with oat milk?
I don't know.
Probably.
I've never bought
oat
milk.
They've got it with all... From if it can be milked, they've got it. So the almonds.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Apparently, sugar almonds can be milked.
I'm not a fan of the almonds.
Oh.
No, almonds milks. No.
What about other
legumes?
No,
I do not. No.
Are almonds legumes? Or
nuts? No, isn't legume a bean?
Oh, I guess it's.
Oh, you're right.
International
nuts
delight.
And legumes mixed up.
International delight.
International delight. I love that. Okay.
Beautiful.
My 17-year-old child, her coffee order is one of those that have like 18 different things on it.
Goodness.
And so when I go to coffee with her or if I'm going through the drive-thru with her and she orders that, I'm embarrassed. Is that okay to say?
Yeah,
because
I would
I'm
be
like,
embarrassed.
Nobody does that.
I hate having to like repeat. I hate being the driver at Starbucks and having to,
when people give you their
what
orders,
do you want? And they're like, I want all of this. Yeah. And you're just like
sort of, I'm not saying that.
I'll just pull up to the, I'll just unroll your window. You just tell them whatever. Okay. You just
say. So you're like, you fall into the category of people that'll force your people in the back to give their own order rather than try to.
If it's a laundry list like that and you want me to try to like in one ear and out the other to the person on the microphone,
it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Yeah. I'm going to mess it up. They're going to be mad at me. Totally. This guy's going to be yelling at me about God knows
and
what.
And it's going to be the wrong coffee order. And then you're going to have to take it back.
And everybody's going to have a bad time.
You did it wrong. Yeah. No.
We're you know what? What happens with me? If someone gives me like a coffee order, like a really specific list of things for their drink, and I go up to, you know, I pull up to the window and I'm about to say it, something inside of me
cringes,
starts cringing. Yep. And then I read what's written as if like,
I start
like where it's clearly not for me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I read it in such a way that suggests that, oh, you know, this is such a drag. I have to do this for someone else. It's not my drink. So don't be mad at me. I'm not like this. I promise.
So
I have to like signal to them. It's weird. It's like the subconscious. It just happens.
So what you're saying is anytime I give you, when you ask me, what do you want?
Yours aren't too bad. As yours only usually have like a couple of changes, right? I'm talking like seven lines of the pumps and the scoops and
unnecessary.
And the whatevers.
Yeah.
You know? Can't do that.
Right. I guess we should say welcome back to episode number 5 of Kent Now season 2. We got a lot to talk about. Clearly, coffee is top of mind this afternoon. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But we've also got some weather to talk about because last episode we said the weather was, I will go on the record and saying the weather was stupid. And again, I am proven correct. The weather is stupid.
Tracy does not like
snow
or cold weather.
I'm done with this. Gosh. And can we have some sun?
There was a sudden change.
Right?
Yeah, on Monday evening. Mm. I don't know if you saw online, but you know, and I was doing, you know, some scrolling today, on the city accounts to look for some good content to share with our residents. Sure. I noticed, the Seattle weather blog actually noted that SeaTac, I guess where they keep their records, officially received 0.3 inches of snow, making for Seattle's first and likely last measurable snowfall this winter.
It's 0.3 inches. Oh, yeah.
0.3 inches.
Yes.
Inch.
Yeah. Math.
Yep.
So whoever had that, you win.
Yep.
You
so
win.
So we're going to have to go back to the post.
I didn't get anything down in Tacoma.
No?
Nothing.
Had a little bit in Auburn. Didn't stick. Made the roads a little icy, though. That was kind of fun. A little sketch.
Is that fun?
I think it's
fun. I mean, no.
That's a challenge.
No. But I mean,
it's not for everybody.
No, you're absolutely right. It is not for everybody. Also, we were talking about this. This is just a lot of inner office talk, but I loved Dune. I didn't read the books, love the movies. Josh, you went to it.
I did.
And
I had the opportunity to see Dune 2 over the weekend. I saw the first one when it was in theaters. I saw it in IMAX at the Kent Station AMC. It's a great theater, and no spoilers, but it was really good, really long, but it was visually and audibly like, how do you say, audibly,
yeah,
like just spectacular. It was a great movie.
I sent Josh, Kyle, over the weekend a Instagram reel of people that went to the Dune movie where, you know, we were talking about hands and things. Well, they have a thing that goes over the popcorn bowl or whatever, and you put your hand in, and it looks like
the wormy.
Yeah, it eats your hand.
Gross.
But it's not really eating your hand. It's just the thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay.
Okay, so if you want to be scared with the thing that eats your hand, you can get it at the theater, right?
Yeah, they were selling like these commemorative Dune popcorn buckets. Mm. I personally did not purchase one.
They're like expensive,
but,
aren't they?
Yeah, they weren't exactly a Happy Meal prize type price. You know what I mean?
Okay, so not a $4.99 Happy Meal. Got it.
Nope, but something that I thought was funny, there's this whole conversation happening on Twitter about movies like Dune, and this actually happened with Star Wars.
Okay.
Well, not like Dune, because it hasn't happened with Dune. Let me explain.
Okay.
So when Star Wars was first in theaters, in Chile, apparently, they got rid of commercial breaks.
Oh.
And but so they like stitched the advertising for certain products into the movie, like and edited it into the movie for the Cerveza Cristal.
So the beer, Crystal.
The beer, yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. And so people made all these really funny Dune edits where they stitch in the Crystal beer ads. And yeah, anyway, it was a lot of fun.
I bet you those are fun to watch. It's kind of like the Josh Wine thing that we talked about too, back in a couple of pods not too long ago, where you're like, Josh Wine. Very nice. All right. Also, that has just kind of popped up in a lot of the socials is 60 Minutes. Who's watching 60 Minutes? Anybody?
Oh, yeah.
I bet there's a lot of people that still watch 60 Minutes. We watch that.
You watch, seriously?
60 Minutes
every now and again. My family in 2020. Used to watch it all the time.
I mean, I did when I was a kid and had no choice in the matter, but I'm not watching 60 Minutes. I don't watch TV, really.
I mean, yeah, me neither, but.
Yeah. Anyway, on 60 Minutes, they allowed the allowed inside Blue Origin, where the new Glenn reusable rocket is being built, named after John Glenn, the first American to orbit the Earth in 1962. Did I say that right? Orbit the Earth.
Yes.
Orbit the Earth.
Yeah, it was actually really cool. I mean, 60 Minutes here at the Blue Origin facility in Kent. That's awesome. That's a big deal.
It is a big deal. And we had a little drama. This last week.
A little bit of drama.
Yeah, with all of the socials.
Yep. Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp went down Tuesday morning. So, you know, just wanted to take this opportunity, as some other public government agencies have, to remind you to have other ways of staying in touch with your friends and family, as well as access to important information aside from your social media channels. Particularly, you can get something like the FEMA mobile app or radio stations.
Yeah.
All kinds of great ways to receive wireless emergency alerts as well. You can sign up for that and just stay in touch in case the socials go down.
And now, official city business.
Getting back to some of the important city business happening in Kent. Last week at the Kent City Council meeting, Mayor Ralph and the council recognized our February Employee of the Month, Jan Hyatt.
I love Jan. Jan's been here for years and years and years. She works in our HR department. She has got the best hair. I think of everybody in the city, she has the best hair. It's curly, it's blonde, it's bouncy, it's like every woman's dream to have hair like that. Mm-hmm. So,
and all that's not why she won the Employee of the Month.
No, that's not why.
But we do appreciate some good hair here. Right. Tracy's on a bit of a hair thing lately.
Well, I'm trying to
just bear with us.
Repair the damage of years and years of damage of being blonde. And so, yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's that. But no, Jan has been a long time here at the city, and she's done some amazing work. She's pivoted a lot, especially in her position in HR. She's a hard worker and really performs to excellence. So we appreciate her so much.
Should I dye my hair?
You want to go blonde? I can make that happen for you.
I don't think that would work
Probably well not. Kyle's kind of blonde.
I used to be bleach blonde.
Back
in the day.
Wow. Oh.
Surfer.
When I was a kid.
Bro. Mm-hmm.
Bro.
It's giving surfer. Staff actually went up there, presented some information to residents in the council about a new conceptual plan for North Meridian Park here in Kent, as well as details and information on the planning and design process for campus park improvements. So, you know, definitely the city is continuing to make investments in our park system and looking forward to those.
Also, there was some bids awarded for striping and pavement marking projects, authorized agreements for work on the 76th Avenue South. Also, moving forward with our Mill Creek reestablishment project, too. We heard a lot about that in Committee of the Whole, but we've also heard about that in that last council meeting. There was a presentation from our staff and our Parks Department and our Parks Engineering and whatnot, too. So a lot of big things are happening for Mill Creek, so we're really excited about that.
In addition to that, our law department provided an update on code enforcement practices, kind of an overview on how some of that is going. For those of you who don't know, you know, prosecutors here at the city essentially work with our police department and property owners to essentially hold people accountable for violations of city code on their property. Definitely something that the city takes very seriously and is continuing to work on to clean up, you know, some of those areas that
need cleaning up. Totally.
And I was trying to figure out a better way to say that, but that is a good way to say it.
Also, we heard a presentation on the 2024 through 2028 art plan.
A lot of good stuff happening there. The city has a number of public art installations and displays.
Some are being decommissioned and brought in.
Yep. Kind of rotated there. City has a good amount in its art collection, and our arts commission through our parks department always looking for opportunities to do new projects and put a spotlight on what we already have here in Kent.
Also, a grant was accepted for the National Highway Safety Asset Management Program.
Our public works staff are always looking for opportunities to spend other people's money, which we like. I mean, something the mayor said in her last city speech, you know, it's always better to spend someone else's money. Our staff, cross departments, always looking to apply for grants. It's, you know, from transportation and infrastructure projects to new parks to asset management programs. Mm-hmm. So good stuff. So those were some of the high-level items discussed at the Kent City Council meeting. An announcement that our Parks Department recently made, Tracy, that was actually pretty exciting, is the return of our Green Kent program. We have, you know, these environmental cleanup and volunteer conservation events throughout the year hosted by our Parks Department. And Green Kent is really taking all of those events, putting them under an awesome banner and holding events from April through November where volunteers can work to sign up, join our parks team to help.
Kelp is green too. Yep.
But volunteers aren't going to be doing anything with kelp, Tracy. They're going to help our parks department keep our park locations healthy and clean and learn about our local nature and conservation efforts, doing things like removing invasive species, planting trees and shrubs. I think in the past, volunteers have actually been able to take some home, which is sweet. So if you got a green thumb, unlike myself, that would be a great opportunity for you.
We heard about that in the last episode with Kyle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, just to put this on the radar, this week, our Kent Parks program, their Spring and Summer Guide 2024, Spring and Summer Guide is in your mailbox, if not already.
Let's go.
And you can sign up for those programs and services starting on Tuesday, which is tomorrow, March 12th.
Correct.
Okay. So, Josh, I told you last episode about a podcast that I fell upon, and it's called A Little Bit of Everything. You like that?
I like that.
The play on words is amazing. So, with us today, in their cute little Seattle Thunderbirds jerseys, we've got Avery and Addison, her sister. Avery, the host of A Little Bit of Everything, is here. Hello, Avery.
Hi.
Hi. How old are you?
I'm 10.
You're 10.
10.
Oh, wait.
Double digits.
Wait, Dad's like pointing. You're 10 and what?
11 now, tomorrow.
11 tomorrow? What?
We got a birthday.
Oh my goodness. We're going to have to do something about the birthday. You don't want me to sing happy birthday though. It's really bad. And then we've got Addison. Addison, how old are you?
9.
Is it okay to be the younger sister?
Definitely not.
No?
Oh.
Oh, why is it bad to be the younger sister?
Because Avery thinks she can be the boss of me.
That's funny, because I'm the older sister in my family, and I'm kind of the boss of my younger sister, too. So, you know, that's kind of how that works. But, you know, that's all right, because the younger sisters seem to, you guys get the hand-me-downs, which is kind of cool, and then these guys set the tone for the rest of your life. So then when you do it, it's fine. Everything is fine. You know?
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. All right, Avery. So tell us a little bit about your podcast.
So in my podcast, I like to like express my feelings and like all of the cool hockey adventures I do.
Mm.
And I like to like explore all of the fun things that all the kids do to like all my friends and family.
Okay. So did you come up with the podcast or did your dad and mom come up with the podcast?
So it started like a couple, like actually like 2 weeks before my 9th birthday.
Oh.
Or my 10th.
Okay.
And I had talked to my dad about like trying to make a podcast. And
really?
Because we always listened to really hockey podcasts and history podcasts.
Okay.
So we always expected to have one of our own. And then on my 10th birthday, he surprised me.
That's so cool. That's very cool.
So you'll be in the car going places or at home listening to a podcast with your dad. And then you're just this is cool. This is something I want to do.
Yeah. I'm like, yippee.
So tell us about that first episode. How was it?
It was trial and error. It was kind of hard because my dad was trying to figure out all the buttons and how to edit it.
Okay.
But I think it went good because I shared my first hockey tournament, which was in Wenatchee. So
I feel like you guys travel a lot. Addison, there was an episode that I listened to and you were in the car. So you guys did a car episode.
Yeah.
And you talked a lot during that one.
I like talking.
You know what? You have a future as a podcaster too, I think. Yeah?
Maybe.
Okay. What do you want to be when you grow up?
An artist.
Oh, okay. What would you like to be when you grow up?
Well, I got a lot of stuff this year for fashion.
Oh.
I'm really into designing stuff.
So, Josh?
Yeah, I'm curious about what's your process? How do you get ready for new episodes?
Well, it starts you always have to I always come up with stuff as I'm doing random stuff showering or going to bed and sleeping and dreaming about it, kind of.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you just get struck with inspiration and you're oh, I need to remember to talk about this on the podcast.
Yeah.
Nice.
Does dad give you some ideas?
Yeah, he's kind of always there to help.
Very cool.
Addison, do you ever, go up to your sister and you're like, hey, I have this great idea for a podcast or...
I usually do, and she doesn't listen.
Oh, Avery, you're getting called out.
Jeez, Avery. Well, tell us, so now that we've talked a little bit about the podcast, I'm really, really, really interested in your hockey career. So tell me when you got started in hockey, both of you.
Okay, so I started either...
around the age of 3 or 4?
Yeah, 3 or 4. 4.
Wow.
And... the first little steps I did on the ice, my dad helped me with. And it just started from that. And then I got better and better.
Mm-hmm.
And then now I'm on select teams and higher range teams that I'm able to do my best effort and stuff.
Okay. Addison, how long have you been playing?
Since I was 3.
Okay. So, wow, you guys have been playing for a long time.
Yeah, we love hockey.
What do you like the most about it?
Yeah.
Probably just when, I don't know if it's for Avery, but for me, whenever I get on the ice, everything just goes away. And it's I just do what I need to do without even thinking about it.
Why do I feel you're the kid that is going to knock him down and stuff?
She's definitely that person.
Oh, you got sold out.
Oh, no.
All right, Addison.
Yeah, I feel like Addison has those main character moments where she's just in the zone. She's checking people and just doing insane moves.
Totally.
You know?
I love doing that.
I can see it.
Do you? So I'm assuming that this hockey love comes from somewhere. Tell me, where does this hockey love come from?
Probably our dad.
My dad.
Mm.
He got me started in it. So I just it's that thing where at the end of the day, I'm just all with my dad for an hour every day and I just get to do stuff with him.
Nice. Okay, so then here's some random questions. What is your favorite food?
Ramen.
Ramen. Top ramen or
top ramen?
Okay.
Tacos.
See, a girl after my own heart.
There you go.
I love me some tacos. Okay. What is the hardest thing happening in school right now?
Math.
Okay.
Cursive.
If you could talk to one celebrity, who would it be?
Philip Grubauer.
Who's that?
You've already done that.
The goalie on Seattle Kraken.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. Love the local. And?
I don't know. Probably Taylor Swift, because she has a lot of really cool designs on the dresses she wears and the outfits and everything that she comes up with.
Are you a Swiftie?
Yeah.
I'm a big Swiftie.
Oh, so you both are. Girls after my own heart. I love that.
Tracy is
a big adult
Swiftie.
I was going to say I'm an adult Swiftie, but you know, yeah. I mean, this is no secret on the pod for sure. What do you do during the summer then? Since, I mean, or is hockey year round?
Hockey.
Okay.
I got into a girls selects team.
Mm.
So I have that all spring and then
vacations.
Oh, tell me more about these vacations.
So we're doing this like big family vacation.
We're going to San Francisco?
No.
No.
Dad's like, uh-uh.
No, we're going to a vacation house. I think
somewhere.
It's okay, Dad. You can talk. Yeah, we're verifying.
Where?
San Diego.
Okay. It's one of the sands.
There's a lot of them.
There is.
Down there.
Definitely.
Okay. Something we've asked some of the Thunderbirds players when we've had them on is like, what's their like warm up or like pre-game ritual? Like, do you have anything you do like when you're getting ready for the game?
I do.
Okay.
Go ahead, Allison.
Mine is I always put my left stuff on before my right stuff.
Oh, see, that's the good stuff I'm looking for. It's like those weird random things, but
why?
Like that work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is that just a superstition?
Definitely.
Okay.
Probably.
I have both superstition and ritual. So I put my right stuff, and then so I do one right, and then one left, and then one left, and then one right.
Okay.
And then do that all up to the top, and then my superstition is like, don't say you're gonna win because you never do, because you're always like I'm gonna win.
Like you jinx it.
Mm. Jinx it. What happens if you knock on wood? Does that cancel it out or that doesn't work?
We don't have wood in the locker room, but
Not. It's only plastic and probably
maybe
metal.
Maybe you need to bring
stuff
in like a little board to knock on or something. Right?
One bad thing happened to my teammate. We were playing tag, going to the bathroom, like slammed the door and a wooden block fell on her head.
Yeah.
Oh.
Knock, knock.
Well, that's not good.
Definitely not.
Okay. Yeah, that was...
Okay, so you have a pregame. Do you have a pregame pep talk with Dad, or do we listen to a song beforehand? Or
usually it's a song.
Okay,
it's Party in the USA
or Living on a Prayer.
Nice,
awesome, old school Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
All right, then, girls, we're super excited for you to be here. Avery, we're very excited about your future as a podcaster. We can't wait to listen to more episodes. But we do have a nice little surprise for you. So we have the Seattle Thunderbirds coming today. And so we figured you and Addison would be our special correspondents to interview our Seattle Thunderbirds. I hope you came ready with some questions.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Fantastic.
I brought my notebook.
All right.
All right, Sam, Nico, thanks for joining us. We have Avery and Addison here, our special Seattle Thunderbirds correspondents that are going to be asking y'all a few questions today. Take it away, Avery.
Okay, so before the games, what are some of your like hockey superstitions or like pregame rituals that you would do?
For myself, I don't think I'm super superstitious. Like I usually have a nap before games, but once I get to the rink, it's mainly just kind of I tape my stick right when I first get there, and then I ride the bike for about 5 to 10 minutes just to kind of get my legs going. And then other than that, it's just we play like soccer kind of stuff before our games and just kind of stretching and hanging out and doing our meetings. It's not too much for me.
Yeah, kind of same for me. I mean, I do the same type of stretches, you know, around the same times. You know, I get to the rink, tape my stick as well, and then yeah, I just get into my routine. It's switched up over the past, you know, few years. I kind of figure out what works for me. And now, I kind of just stick to that.
Who was your favorite hockey player and why?
So, like, growing up?
Yeah, I think mine growing up was Daniel Sedin on the Canucks. I'm from British Columbia, so I think Canucks was my team growing up. They had a good team there, and I always picked Daniel as one of the Twins.
For myself, I'm a big Edmonton Oilers fan. So when I was younger, I would watch guys like Jordan Eberle and Taylor Hall. But then obviously I really liked watching Sidney Crosby too.
Oh,
he was pretty good and he was doing really good coming into the league when I was younger. So it was really fun to watch him.
So when you guys like go away, what is your like favorite away rink?
That's a good question.
It is. I think for me, I've always liked playing in Portland. Big rivalry. It's kind of a different rink, just the way it's shaped, and it's kind of like a big bowl in there almost. But I don't know. I've always done pretty well in that rink, and I just like the ice in there.
I think for myself, my favorite away rink would be Spokane. I don't really like the trip to Spokane. It's not as fun, but I've kind of just always had success in that rink. And then, I mean, Kamloops too. The last few years, we've had quite a few victories and pretty big games we've played there. So it's been pretty good for our team in that rink too.
What's your pre-game meal?
Before the game, is there any snacks or things you eat?
Yeah, for me, it's just chicken and pasta. It's been like that for the past few years. Pretty standard.
At my place, I live with Jordan Gustafson, and we like to kind of change it up. There's usually always some sort of chicken, and I don't know, we kind of change it up every game just to kind of keep things different, I guess. I've played with one guy when I was younger, Rubinsky, and we had chicken parmesan for 2 straight years every game, so.
Solid.
Yeah, it kind of got old there for a little bit, so we like to kind of change it up, and usually some sort of chicken and rice or pasta and stuff like that, though.
Usually you guys are set in your own position for probably this season. What do you like most about the position you guys play?
That's a good question. Yeah, I don't know. I think, I'm a forward. I'm a winger, I guess. Just try to be as reliable as possible. I think that's part of my game. So, just being reliable in the D zone and helping us, kind of transition the puck to offense.
At the start of the year, the last few years, actually, I've been playing a lot of center, and I like it just because I feel like I'm always kind of around the puck and I'm involved in the play a lot. And in the last few games, I've been playing wing though, and I think it's kind of the same thing. I think as a forward, you're more involved in the play and you're around the puck a lot more. And I think I just like that aspect of it more.
So relying on your if you were another player, you would be reliable to always be there.
Yeah, exactly. Especially as a centerman, you're kind of following the puck more, especially in the defensive zone.
Yeah.
You're always an option to have the puck pass to you and stuff like that. So I kind of like being that position more.
So thank you, girls, for being a part of our special correspondent for the Seattle Thunderbirds. I know Josh and I have a couple of questions too for you guys, because you're coming off of I don't know how to explain the season. It's been a little interesting. You guys have been plagued with some injuries, and of course there wasn't a lot of, how should I put it, you've had some really challenging times, especially on the road. So tell us what you're looking forward to. You're on the second part of the season. You're stacked with some pretty tough games ahead, and where you sit with the conference. How are you feeling about that?
Yeah, I think, for us, we're just kind of taking it one game at a time. Every game is an opportunity to grab 2 points. Every game we're focused just on what's ahead. Try and get the best result out of that game and then move on to the next.
Absolutely. So you mentioned 2 points, the team's 10 points out from a playoff spot in the Western Conference with just 8 games remaining. Do you think it's possible to clinch that spot?
I think we can get in. I think one thing that we do have in our favor is we play Spokane 3 times. So, for us, they're definitely going to be must-win games, but that's 6 points that we can gain right there. Obviously, we will need a little bit of help from some other teams who are playing them, but I think if we, like Nico said, taking it one game at a time, and if we can kind of start to get on a roll here and get some points and get a little help on the side, then you never know what can happen. We've seen crazier stuff in hockey. Yeah. So.
Does it help, you mentioned playing Spokane 3 times in a row, right? How does that change? Does the team adjust as you play the same team multiple times in succession? You kind of get a feel for how they play the game?
Yeah, I think you definitely get a feel for how they're going to try and play. And then obviously we'll come up with our game plan too, to kind of counteract, I guess, how they're going to do things. But it's definitely a chess match. It's a game within the game. You're always kind of reading and reacting off what the other team's doing and stuff like that. So, and I think, especially when you play a team that many times in a short amount of time, I guess you got to adjust on the fly sometimes. But I think just with the guys we have, we've got a lot of our guys back and a lot of experience, which will help. And I think we'll be leaning on our older guys here to kind of try and make a push for the playoffs here.
Yeah. And you're losing quite a few of them, going to the NHL. So how are we feeling about, I know that this season isn't over yet, but the building into the next season. How do we feel about that?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, yeah, like you said, there's going to be guys that are moving on. But I think the organization's done such a good job at, you know, drafting guys coming up, and they're, you know, our young guys are doing a really good job. So I think for us older guys, it's about kind of passing that culture that we've built up and that we've learned over the past few years to them, so that they can, you know, kind of lead the ship moving forward.
Sure. Well, guys, thank you again for being a part of Kent Now. Thank you for our special correspondents, yeah, Avery and Addison. Thank you, girls, for the questions. And we're really looking forward to seeing you guys clinch that spot in the conference.
Yeah, thank you very much
for having us.
All righty. Kent events. Let's talk about that. So last episode, Josh, we talked to Stacy and Sarah in our Kent PD community education program and Kent block work. Wait, what? Kent Block Watch 101 is happening tomorrow at the Kent Police Training Center. You can still attend if you'd like to. It's from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. It's kind of learning how you can be more of an advocate for your neighborhood by watching for crime trends, and working together to keep your neighborhood safe.
Absolutely. And if you want to sign up, you can do so by emailing our staff. That information is available on our social media and website. Another great event we have coming up is Coffee and Conversation on the 13th, Wednesday, March 13th, from 12:30 to 1:30 p.m. at the Kent Senior Activity Center. Mayor Ralph will be there to meet with residents, all of you, answer questions, provide some updates on what the city is working on, and you know, hear your concerns. The mayor deeply cares about community input, and this is a great opportunity to meet directly with your mayor and city representatives.
And you can grab lunch at the Senior Center, too. So all the more reason to go have coffee and lunch right there.
Coffee and lunch.
Yeah.
Love lunch.
And talk and conversation.
Yes. We've got the Greater Seattle Toy Show coming up on the 16th. This is a family-owned business that's been operating for over 30 years. You can stop by the Kent Commons Community Center on Saturday, March 16th. They have got all of the antique and collectible toys you can think of, Slinky being one of them. I have on good word, there are a collection of Slinkies that are going to be there. So from the very, very first ones to current. So are you a Slinky guy?
I could be.
Do you know what a Slinky is?
Of course I know what a Slinky is.
Just checking.
She knows French, right?
Slinky, I know slinky. What a slinky is.
Everyone loves a slinky.
Stretch Armstrong. Do you know what a Stretch Armstrong?
Definitely.
No.
Okay. So he is like a superhero, and his arms are out like, you know, straight. Okay. And you can pull him, and he's like retractable.
Super elastic man.
Yeah.
And he stretches.
Yeah.
He stretches like
Hence
crazy.
The name Stretch Armstrong.
Okay. Thank you for that little tidbit there, Tracy.
You bet.
Another great thing we have coming up on the same day. So it's going to be a busy day.
Yeah.
For you all, because we expect to see you there. We got the Kent Run the Green, hosted by Orca Running. It's a half marathon and 10K back on the Green River Trail. You're going to be running along the scenic river and the golf course. Everyone that participates is getting a shirt and a medal, free photo downloads, and there's post-race snacks. So if you're a health fitness person doing the running and the stuff, this is a great event for you.
I love it.
You can learn more on runsignup.com. You can search for Run the Green, and there's also information on social media.
I'm always in it for the snacks. Also, don't forget, Mayor's State of the City is coming up on March 21st. We would love to see you in attendance. 6:30 is when the doors open at KM High School. Food provided by Biblos. We're going to taste from Barbecue Pete's. We've got Deli O'Clock, Project Feast, and Nana's. Nana's Southern Kitchen jumping in on the State of the City too. So a lot of really good appetizers for you to enjoy while Mayor talks about her 2024 State of the City presentation.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
It's going to be great.
It's time for Did You Know?
Bit of a shorter Did You Know on this week's edition of Kent Now. So last week, last episode, we talked about some plaques at the historic Mill Creek neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so we're also going to be talking about some more plaques.
Oh, I love
this
it.
Week, but with a little history attached.
But it's not the teeth plaque, right? It's,
nope, oh, not the teeth plaque.
Got it.
So did you did you know that there are 8 elevated restored plaques that explain some historic monument sites positioned to the north and south, just like the landings along the river were geographically functioned more than 160 years ago?
I believe there's one by the Lakes neighborhood.
I believe you're right.
Near the Neely Mansion.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Each of these plaques represents a different landing and its corresponding pioneer, bearing names such as Van Doren.
Okay. Ooh,
Van Doren's
Ooh,
Landing. That's
I
a name
love
of park.
That. Yeah.
Ooh, I know that one.
Neely.
Oh.
I just said that one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Downey.
Oh.
Where's that at?
Well, we do have the Downey Side Channel restoration project that was completed.
Okay.
So that's an offshoot of the Green River. Mm-hmm. Langston, Saar, and Alvord. We have a couple of those might be street names in the Kent community.
Yeah.
So pioneers of the 1860s and 70s, they established some like small port-like boat landings along the winding reach. And at the time, and you know, to this day, it's in the heart of what we would know as a pretty fertile agricultural valley. I mean, there's, you know, we talk in the past about Kent having a rich history of agriculture.
Yep.
And we still have farms here today. So
the lettuces.
Yep, the lettuces in the past.
Yeah.
And the hopses. Mm-hmm. So as many as 16 different riverboats drifted up and down the river at one time, historians say, along with the occasional canoe and pole-driven scow. Not sure what that is, though. Pole-driven scow?
Okay.
Scow?
I'm not sure, but we'll look it up.
We'll look into this. The landings were important at the time, connecting communities from the outside world, where goods were shipped out and brought in, and how mail was delivered as well.
Hmm.
So many of the landings supported a cable ferry crossing as well, and that was an important service since there was no bridges across the river at the time. What we now know as Military Road actually represented the area's only significant route connecting north to south.
Huh.
So interesting little tidbits about some of the landings named after relevant historical figures in Kent that also have other locations and streets and stuff named after them. Little did they know they would go down in history.
I'm still stuck on Alvord. I like that name.
It's a cool name.
Yeah.
And the chipmunks, Alvord.
It's Alvin.
That's
I know,
okay.
But that's what it reminded me of.
Got it.
Chipmunks.
Okay. I love
Alvord and the chipmunks.
Alvord.
You know
we
what?
We should do a spinoff.
We should with them and Alvord. Thank you, Josh. Another Now You Know.
Now you do know.
Well, that's it.
That's it.
That's all we got.
It's over.
It's another great episode.
That's all we got.
Great next, information.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, next episode will be a replay of Mayor Dana Ralph's 2024 State of the City.
So tune in to get the full rundown from Mayor Ralph herself on all of the great accomplishments that the city is doing. And some of the challenges that we are addressing.
Yep.
And our vision for the future. Thank you for listening.
And have a good
night. This is Josh Mossberg signing off.
Are we done?
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. We want to hear from you. Share your thoughts and ideas with us at communications@kentwa.gov or connect with us on our social media at City of Kent on Facebook and X, or check out kentwa.gov for what's happening in Kent. Thanks again for listening.